Evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the program of the same name. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll stick around for most of the fun and frivolity this evening. Boy, a lot of resolutions and demands about Acorn now, right? Huh? Isn't that cool? Right? The hooker and the pimp went in. No offense to sex workers. Turned out they were just right-wing activists just trying to get the goods on those dirty communists over at Acorn. Acorn has been a target of the right wing for an awful long time because you know what Acorn did? Way back in the day, back in the 70s, Acorn filed a lawsuit against real estate companies. Let's just leave it at that. Real estate companies because of a practice called redlining. And redlining, if you remember the bad old days of the 70s, was where they, sectioned off on a map certain parts of a city, marked it with a red line around it, and the insurance companies and the banks and the lending institutions would not handle any mortgages in there because Negroes lived there. This is before we had, you know, Mexicans and Asians and Central Americans and, Middle Easterners. People of the colored persuasion wanted to buy a house like people of the Caucasian persuasion. And the banks and the insurance companies and lending institutions said, no, I don't think so. So how do you tell and not violate the Civil Rights Acts of the 60s? You know, somebody comes in, wants to borrow money, or somebody calls you, wants to buy, well, what's the address of the property? They get the address and say, I'm sorry. We don't, you know, loan money down there. So Acorn went to court about this, and laws were passed that says, no, you can't do that. So for the past 30 years, Acorn has been an organization with a huge target on its back. So now they really got the goods on them, right? Son of a bitch. Did you see all them? Man, the hookers and the pimps and the drugs and blah, 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 boom, blah, 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 bam, bam, right? Yeah, okay. So the House and the Senate now have decided to cut off all funding to Acorn. And why? Because they're breaking laws, Mike. They're telling you how to pimp. They're telling you how to cover up underage girls and stuff. And you know. Oh. Okay. No more tax dollars to Acorn. What about tax dollars continuing to Blackwater? Are we going to, Z. Are we going to cut off those dollars? Blackwater. That everybody knows, but you know, under our system of justice, unless you happen to be a man or a woman with a Muslim name or a kid with a Muslim name, our system of justice demands charges be brought, evidence be presented, trial be held. Why, little umba? We don't just lock people up for no reason till they've had a trial. Unless they're, you know, Arabs or Muslims or things like that. So while Blackwater, everybody in the world knows that Blackwater is a terrorist organization that works for the larger terrorist organization, the CIA. But this gives the CIA deniability, plausible deniability, excuse me, by subcontracting the murder and the mayhem and the torture and the crap that Blackwater does. But now, do you suppose these self-righteous sons of bitches in Congress, who, and Democrats included, because far be it from a conservative Democrat to ever make a stand for social justice or just justice. No, 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 no. Cost you votes, won't it, Sparky? So, to the members of Congress, if you'll look over here, you'll see that I'm raising my middle finger to all of you rat bastards who had the courage to deny funding now to Acorn. You finally got them, didn't you? It took you 30 years, but you finally got them. And in the meantime, you continue to allow money to go to Blackwater, a terrorist organization that murders children, women, old men, young men, grannies, aunties, daughters, people standing on a street corner. You bastards. Okay. Glad to get the show started tonight with a little bit of profanity and screaming and yelling. Doesn't it bother you, Truth Seeker? Doesn't it bother you? No more money for Acorn, but, you know, Blackwater, why? Hell yes! Is there an inconsistency there? Or does that make perfect sense? What am I missing? I wish Glenn Beck were on right now so that psychotic son of a bitch could explain it to me. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Glenn! Why do we cut funding to Acorn and continue funding to Black... Oh, never mind. Glenn wouldn't know. This comes from Channel 9, News 9. They call it Oklahoma City. Channel 9, what is that? Is that a CBS affiliate? I don't know. But here we go. 75% of Oklahoma high school students can't name the first president of the United States. 75% of Oklahoma high school students can't name George Washington as the first president of the United States. That's what it says here. Only 1 in 4 Oklahoma public high school students can name the first president, according to a survey released today. The survey was commissioned by the Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs in observance of Constitution Day. which was today, I guess. Brandon Dutcher is with the conservative think tank, Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs, and said the group wanted to find out how much civic knowledge Oklahoma high school students know. The Oklahoma City-based think tank enlisted national research firm Strategic Vision to access the students' basic civic knowledge, to assess, I should say. There are questions taken from the actual exam that you have to take to become a U.S. citizen, Mr. Dutcher said. 1,000 students were given 10 questions drawn from the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services item bank. Candidates for U.S. citizenship must answer 6 questions correctly in order to become citizens. About 92% of the people who take the citizenship test pass on their first try, according to Immigration Service data. However, Oklahoma high school students did not fare so well. Only about 3% of the students surveyed would have passed the citizenship test. Mr. Brandon Dutcher of the conservative think tank Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs says this is not just a problem in Oklahoma. It's not just us. He said Arizona had similar results. Dutcher said it points to a real serious problem. We're not going to remain ignorant and free. Well, Mr. Dutcher, what makes you think that? I mean, to what do you attribute the fact that 75% of Oklahoma high school students can't name the first president of the United States? I bet they can tell you the first 5 books of the Bible. Huh? You think? I bet they can tell you the story of Adam and Eve and how that bitch brought sin into the human experience, right? You think, Mr. Dutcher? Well, isn't that all that's important to you freaks? Huh? Why do you need to know this other stuff? Why does a high school student need to know this other stuff? Well, why? Indeed. We have one more from Florida. Florida school officials to Florida school administrators appeared in federal court today to face contempt charges for saying a prayer at a school luncheon.
Oh, well, Mike, what's the country coming to when they can't say a prayer at a school luncheon?
Well, it's a little more involved than that. And I'll tell you what it's about when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy.
border to border and coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
21 past the hour. And yes, we are going to get to the Cracker Barrel incident that occurred here in the south suburbs of Atlanta the other day. Back to the Florida school officials in this prayer case. They could get jail time. The principal of Pace High School in Pace, Florida, and the school's athletic director are accused of violating a consent decree banning employees of all county schools in Santa Rosa County, or all the schools, I should say, the public schools in Santa Rosa County, from endorsing religion. Seems simple enough, right? They signed a consent order. And a consent order simply means, no, I didn't do it, but I won't do it again. That's what everybody agreed to. So these two clowns face a non-jury trial before U.S. District Judge M.C. Rogers. If convicted, they could be sentenced to up to 6 months in prison and fined. Defense attorneys, these two guys, they're defense attorneys, said it is outrageous that Mr. Lay and Mr. Freeman are facing prosecution for, quote, a simple prayer. That's end quote. That's all it is, a simple prayer. I mean, what are we coming to? A goddamn Obama. That's what we're coming to. Ah! But the ACLU, whose lawsuit led to the consent decree, maintains students have a right to be free from administrators who foist their personal religious beliefs on them, on the kids. Yeah, that's right. Well, it used to be. An ACLU representative said the organization never suggested people go to jail for violating the decree, and the organization is not involved in the criminal proceedings. The criminal proceedings were initiated because they violated a court order. It's called contempt. That's all. And the ACLU doesn't decide when somebody is in contempt. You know who decides that? The judge that issued the decree. But it will be spun the other way.
Well, they're goddamn ACLU. There they go again.
No, there they don't go again. The ACLU filed suit last year against the school district in Northwest Florida, which means South Alabama. It's in the Florida Panhandle, woo, which is really South Alabama. They filed the suit in district last year against the school district on behalf of two Pace students who alleged that, quote, officials regularly promoted religion and led prayers at school events, end quote. So both parties signed or approved the consent decree put in place January 9, under which district and school officials are, quote, permanently prohibited from promoting, advancing, endorsing, participating, or causing prayers during or in conjunction with school events, end quote. Now, isn't that simple? I mean, it's so simple. Everybody goes home. But you see what the right-wingers have been talking about for 40 years. Well, that Madeleine Murray O'Hare, she got God banned from the public. You know, before Madeleine Murray O'Hare filed her lawsuit that went to the Supreme Court, you know, before that, people could say a prayer to the Almighty. This is a Christian nation. Well, the Jews, well, okay, they could say it too. And back then, we didn't have any Muslims going to, well, not that anyone knew of course. There are an awful lot of Muslims where I grew up in Toledo, Ohio. Big Arab popular, but never mind. Never mind. So Madeleine Murray O'Hare, contrary to what these religious right nutballs have said, didn't chase anybody out of the public schools. And never has the Supreme Court said, and by the way, it was the Warren Court. You remember Earl Warren? Impeach Earl Warren! Remember him? An Eisenhower appointee, a Republican former governor of California, who became, according to the right-wing nutballs, the most liberal chief justice this country has ever had. Ever, ever, ever. Going all the way back to the dinosaurs. Ever. So the Warren Court said, the First Amendment means what it says, so no officially sanctioned prayers in public schools. Now, the right wing immediately, the John Birch Society back in the day, said, oh, look, they've driven God out of the schools. They don't let kids pray. Any child can pray anytime he or she wants to in any public school in America. It is that way now. It always has been that way, and it will continue to be that way until the neo-Nazis finally do take over and change it. But any child who wants to offer up a prayer to his or her concept of God, be he Cosmic Muffin or Harry Thunderer, can do so in the silence of his own or her own consciousness. And isn't that what, in the Christian faith, isn't what Jesus told the people to do? Don't do your public prayers. You know, don't do that. Didn't he specifically say that? Of course, Jesus never said anything about queers, but he did say that about public prayer. These murderous, bloody Christians refused to listen to what Jesus said and attribute to him something he never said. You know what's going to happen to you people, don't you? When you die and you face Jesus, he's going to pinch your heads off and throw them into hell, where all the little demons will use them as soccer balls for all eternity. I'm gonna have some faith.
Truth Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
We're also going to talk about tonight Obama administration and Secretary of Defense Gates' decision to step back a little bit from the nuclear brink. With Cheney wanted, wanted to encircle the Soviet Union, or I'm sorry, encircle Russia with radar stations and missile launchers and so on and so forth. And then, you know, this is to protect us from Iran, right? And Terry Gates and President Obama decided to change that little policy. It was a policy originally suggested by Gates. Gates was the mouthpiece back then. So we'll talk about that a little bit later tonight, too. Speaking of things horrible, Dick Cheney had surgery today, back surgery, to treat a condition caused by pressure on the nerves in his lower spine. I didn't know he still had active nerves in his lower spine. I really don't. George Washington University Hospital is where he went because he has great insurance. His office said in a statement, the office talk, the chairs, the desk, the walls, the draperies, the American flag, they all got together and issued a statement. His office said, quote, former Vice President Cheney went to George Washington University Hospital this morning for elective surgery to deal with lumbar spinal stenosis. That is caused, of course, by compression of nerves in the lower back, often producing pain or numbness, tingling and weakness in the legs and buttocks. And when he started complaining, his wife, Lynn, said, oh, you have tingling in your buttocks? That's not from your, what's it called, dear, stenosis? That's from the games we played last night. Tingling in your buttocks. Didn't she write about that? Yeah, her sex books. Her gay sex books, tingling in the buttocks. Former Interior Secretary Gail Norton is the focus of a corruption probe. Gail Norton, who was a lobbyist for the lead industry before she was appointed by or nominated by George Bush and confirmed by the Republican-controlled Senate to be the Secretary of the Interior. That makes sense. Of course. Of course. Lobbyists for the lead industry that killed how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of children in this country. Lead paint, lead in gasoline, lead. We no longer have lead in gasoline. That must have really pissed off Gail Norton and her lead industry pals. But lead is gone from gasoline because, oh darn, too many people were dying. Another murderer in the Bush crime family. I don't know why people question my claim that the Bush crime family was made up of killers, murderers, people who just didn't give a goddamn about human life whatsoever.
Oh, well, don't get an abortion.
Don't get an abortion, but let's put lead all over the environment. Let's see how many children we can kill. Now, a lot of the children that Gail Norton murdered through her function as a lobbyist for the lead industry were children that didn't count because they were ghetto children. They were urban children. They were inner city children. You know, little dark-skinned children. They're the ones whose diets are so deficient that they occasionally will eat the crumbling red lead paint around the windows of whatever tenement they happen to be living in. Oh, I know, it's the parents' fault. So how many children are dead because Gail Norton murdered them? I guess we'll never know, but now she is the subject or the focus of a corruption probe. The Justice Department is investigating whether she illegally used her position to benefit Royal Dutch Shell, the company that later hired her. No, don't look over here. None of this happened. And any statements to the contrary are completely misleading. No. The investigation centers on her decision, well, the Interior Department's decision, in 2006 to award three lucrative oil shale leases on federal land in Colorado to a Shell subsidiary. Over the years, it would take to extract the oil, according to calculations from Shell and a RAND Corporation expert, the deal could net the company hundreds of billions of dollars. Let me repeat that. Hundreds of billions of dollars. So the former murderess for the lead industry, Gail Norton, said, oh, sure, boys, you want that? Okay, but don't forget, tit for tat. No, not my tit, not your tat. You know what I mean by that. Tit for tat when I get out of this crummy job. The investigation's main focus is whether Norton violated a law that prohibits federal employees from discussing employment with the company if they are involved in dealings with the government that could benefit that firm. Investigators also were trying to determine if Norton broke a broader federal law, which is called a denial of honest services law, which says a government official can be prosecuted for violating the public trust, for example, by steering government business to favored firms or friends. Shell spokeswoman Kelly C. Opdewig, that's her name, declined to comment on behalf of both the company and Ms. Norton. And Ms. Norton did not respond to numerous calls. Kelly Opdewig said, quote, Shell has not received an official notification with regard to a government investigation. Consequently, we are not in a position to comment at this time, end quote. They always say that, don't they? Oh, and by the way, the Justice and Interior Departments would also not comment. Interior Department investigators, however, referred the case to the Justice Department after concluding that there was sufficient evidence of potential illegal conduct. According to federal law enforcement and interior officials, the official spoke on the condition of anonymity because of the sensitive and confidential nature of the case. Now, here's the kicker to the story. This investigation, started by the Interior Department's Office of Inspector General, which is a career position. It's not a politically appointed position. So that will explain the next little phrase here. It began the investigation during the waning months of the Bush administration. And more recently, after Bush was out of office, made a formal criminal referral to the Justice Department. Norton, of course, is the first Bush official at the cabinet secretary level to be the subject of a formal political corruption investigation. Gail Norton, who also will spend a considerable, I think she's a Christian, and therefore in her whatever post-conscious state that these people believe will occur, where they'll either skip along the streets of heaven or wallow in the bowels of hell. Gail Norton's another one who will go to the bowels of hell, where she will probably be confronted with all the little 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 year old children who died from eating lead paint. And they will question Gail Norton, "Miss Norton, why didn't you make them stop it? Why did you work for the lead industry?" Oh. No, you don't think so? Okay. Rachel Maddow the other night had Frank Schaefer on. We had Frank Schaefer on one time. He's the guy that wrote Crazy for God. Excuse me. His parents were the two people who were more or less began the fundamentalist Christian movement in this country that took Jesus completely out of Christianity and replaced him with some kind of demonic right-wing neo-Nazism that is now the ascendant religion in this country. It has it's still called Christianity, has no more to do with Christ than it has to do with a Dipper Dan franchise in East Los Angeles. Frank Schaefer was on Rachel Maddow's show the other night. Do we have time to do this now? Yeah, I think we do. We don't have time? All right. Okay, then I guess we don't. When we come back, we're going to do this because I've got two sound bites for you. But he talks about, we're going to play it for you, where he, and this guy should know, if anybody knows, he should know. And he's, you know, he still calls himself a church-going Christian. But he talks about that the form of Christianity that is prevalent in this, or, I don't know if it's dominant yet, but it certainly is prevalent in this country, is a kind of, what does he call it, fifth column movement that is, you know, a fifth column by definition are subversives who operate within a country, usually a country that's at war with something, and the fifth column. And I think, where does it come from? Does it come from the Spanish, what was it? The war against Franco. What was that called? We had the Abraham Lincoln Brigade, the people who went to fight on the side of the socialists and the communists, not Spanish American War. What was it? Spanish Revolution. You know, Hemingway was there, all these people. What the hell was that war? Oh, somebody emailed it to me. Anyway, I digress needlessly. So who gives a damn where the term fifth column comes from? But fifth column usually refers to subversives within your country who are working with the enemy to overthrow and defeat your country, to end it, to destroy it. So what Frank Schaefer does is refer to these crazed Christians, and I think he does call them crazy, as being a fifth column of insanity. Pretty strong words. We'll be back. Stay with us. Oh, it was a Spanish Civil War. Okay, thank you.
Strikes across the frontier, strikes for higher wage. Planet lurches to the right as ideologies engage. Suddenly it's repression, moratorium of rights. Of panic would invite. Blood in the streets shrugs. Security comes first. But the trouble is normalized. It always gets worse.
Just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. All right, Frank Schaefer, author of Crazy for God, whose parents began the Christian fundamentalist crazy movement, modern Christian fundamentalist crazy movement in this country. It was on Rachel Maddow's program last night on MSNBC. And she brought up the Christian right crazy neo-Nazi people and what it meant. Here's the first one.
Well, I was a child when President Kennedy was assassinated, and my mother thought that because he died of a head wound, foretold in Scripture, of the Antichrist. He would be resurrected as the Antichrist. She thought this might be a possibility. So those of us who come from the evangelical subculture have been weaned with our mother's milk on a changing cast list of villains. It might be Kennedy to one generation, Obama to the next. But I think the larger point this brings up is that the mainstream, not just media, but culture, doesn't sufficiently take stock of the fact that within our culture, we have a subculture which is literally a fifth column of insanity that is bred from birth through homeschool, Christian school, evangelical college, whatever, to reject facts as a matter of faith. And so this substitute for authentic historic Christianity, and I may add as a little caveat here, I'm a church-going Christian, really brings up the question, can Christianity be rescued from Christians? And that's an open question. And when you see a bunch of people going around thinking that our president is the Antichrist, you have to draw one of two conclusions. Either these are racists looking for any excuse to level the next accusation, or they're beyond crazy. And I think beyond crazy is a better explanation. And that evangelical subculture has rotted the brain of the United States of America. We have a big slice of our population waiting for Jesus to come back. They look forward to Armageddon. Good news is bad news to them. When we talk about the Left Behind series of books that I talk about in my book, Crazy for God, what we're really talking about is a group of people who are resentful because they know they've been left behind by modernity, by science, by education, by art, by literature. The rest of us are getting on with our lives. These people are standing on a hilltop waiting for the end. And this is a dangerous group of people to have as neighbors, and they're our national neighbors. And this is the source of all these insanities that we see leveled at the president. One way or another, they go back to this little evangelical subculture. It's a disaster.
Whoa, Frank! I couldn't have said it better myself. Within our culture, we have a subculture which is literally a fifth column of insanity that is bred from birth through homeschool, Christian school, evangelical college, whatever, to reject facts. Why, of course. Isn't Glenn Beck, wasn't he a convert, or was he born into the LDS faith? Isn't Limbaugh, I know Hannity claims to be, what, a Catholic? What does he claim to be? Maybe a Protestant, I don't know. Limbaugh talks about being a Christian who likes to bugger children. Well, there's nothing unusual about that, Mike. Look at the priesthood. He says, Schaefer says they're beyond crazy and that the evangelical subculture has rotted the brain of the United States of America. Frank. Be careful now, Frank. You might want to do what I did and get a permit to carry. He says they know they've been left behind by all things modern or modernity, by science, by education, by art, by literature. The rest of us are getting on with our lives. And these people are standing on a hilltop waiting for the end. Yeah. When Israel invaded Lebanon, what was that, Kathy, 2 years ago? Kathy went, did a search and came up with some of these rapture-ready websites. And it was mostly women. It was mostly women on these sites. And they were orgasmic. They were orgasmic about the invasion by Israel of Lebanon because they knew that this was a sign. This was a sign that Jesus was going to come or God was going to come and rapture them. What did they talk about? They were buying new lipstick?
They were all making appointments at the salon. They were getting their hair cut and dyed and curled. They were going for lipo treatments.
Now, this was not a parody site.
No.
This is real stuff.
You couldn't make this stuff up. And it was, you know, and I remember going on the air and going, I'm getting new boobs for Jesus. And I thought, well, what was the part in the Bible that says, don't you get the new body when you go to see Jesus? And wasn't he kind of celibate anyway? But the whole point, I mean, these women, I'm doing my nails, girl. I got to go get my roots touched up. It was crazy.
Yeah. They're waiting for the end. And then Frank Schaefer says the obvious truth. This is the source of all these insanities that we see leveled at the president. Of course. And, you know, this crazy evangelical Christianity coupled with the kind of virulent racism that is as much of a fiber in this country as mom and apple pie. Who was it? Was it Stokely Carmichael who said, or was it Rap Brown who said, violence is as American as apple pie, referring to the violence against black folk, violence against Native Americans, violence against women, violence against, you know, all this violence, so much of it, perpetrated by, and this is the part that really freaks me out, because it makes me think, well, maybe there is an open maw of hell waiting for me, because the perpetrators of all this are white males. Well, I'm not talking about individual acts of brutality and violence. Anybody can commit that. Black, red, yellow, it doesn't make any difference. But this global destruction, global in the sense of all-encompassing, and in the sense of geographic sense, so much of it is perpetrated by white males. Well, was it H. Rap Brown who said violence is as American as apple pie? It was one of those commies, right? The second clip from Frank Schaefer when we come back, and lots more fun and frivolity. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Six and a half past the hour, Malloy program here, and our research department really kicked in. That would be Reggie, Michael, and Irish Dave. It was H. Rap Brown. It wasn't apple pie. It was cherry pie. Violence is as American as cherry pie. Okay, thanks, guys. I rely on Irish Dave and Reggie and Michael to provide the facts. God knows we chew them up and spit out enough of them on this program. So, anyway, thanks, guys. All right, back to Frank Schaefer on Rachel's program last night, where Frank, whose parents more or less began the Christian Fundy political crazy Christian coalition Jerry Falwell madness in this country, and they are both deceased now. And Frank Schaefer, I believe, aren't they? I think they are. Frank Schaefer is now writing about it. His book, Crazy for God, is enlightening, to say the least. Does Rachel say this part? Okay, this is from Rachel Maddow's program last night. Rachel starts, and then Frank Schaefer answers.
How do you work to move people off of that position? It doesn't seem like facts are relevant in trying to move people away from these beliefs.
You don't work to move them off this position. You move past them. Look, a village cannot reorganize village life to suit the village idiot. It's as simple as that. And we have to understand, we have a village idiot in this country. It's called fundamentalist Christianity. And until we move past these people, and let me add, as a former lifelong Republican, until the Republican leadership has the guts to stand up and say it would be better not to have a Republican Party than have a party that caters to the village idiot, there's going to be no end in sight. The next thing they'll do is accuse Obama of being the Antichrist, and then who knows what comes next. On and on it goes. There is no end to this stuff. Why? Because this subculture has as its fundamentalist faith that they distrust facts per se. They believe in a young Earth, 6,000 years old, with dinosaurs cavorting with human beings. They think that whether it's economic news or news from the Middle East, it all has to do with the end of time and Christ's return. This is la-la land, and the Republican Party is totally enthralled to this subculture to the extent that there is no Republican Party. There is a fundamentalist subculture which has become a cult. It's fed red meat by buffoons like Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and other people who are just not terribly bright themselves, and they are talking to even stupider people. That's where we're at. That's where all this is coming from. And it's becoming circular. It's becoming a joke. Unfortunately, a dangerous joke, because once in a while, one of these Looney Tunes, as we see, brings guns to public meetings. Who knows what they do next? It's a serious thing we all have to face. But the Democrats and sane Americans just have to move past these people, say, go wait in the hilltop for the end. The rest of us are going to get on with rebuilding our country.
Oh. Mr. Schaefer, briefly, is there anybody on the right who could be concerned?
Well, we didn't mean to have that little bit on there. So there you go. I mean, Frank Schaefer, who, as far as anyone out there in popular culture who understands the insanity, the literal insanity, from a front row seat. I mean, you understand it. So do I understand it. Of this fundamentalist Christianity, Republican, crazy, Armageddonist, Jesus is coming, rapture, there go your clothes, attitude. Anyone who understands how sick these people are, Frank says move past them. I say, be ever alert, because these crazy bastards are going to, when their little play doesn't end the way they want it to, they're going to be very pissed off. You know, as these people approach the end of their earthly time, they'll say, well, I'm going to go meet Jesus. Oh, really? But, you know, the disciples of Jesus' disciples, shortly after he was executed and his body disappeared, weren't they talking about, well, he's going to return probably next week, next month, next year? It's coming right now. Here he comes. Watch out. Here he comes. So this madness is madness. That's all. And I think Schaefer really puts it in the proper perspective. I think people in this country have got to, sane people, have got to reclaim, to some extent, the idea that we are sentient beings, we think, therefore we are, and thought processes, insofar as science or technical things, or pick any science. There is no room in any science for superstition, for these crazy beliefs. It's just not possible. I know there are a lot of scientists who also claim to be Christian or Jewish or Muslim, okay, or Hindus. All right, fine, but I think they do it as an afterthought. It is not a forethought. It's not the major theme in their lives. The major theme in their lives is biology or geology or astronomy or physiology or medicine or engineering or school teaching or writing or, whatever it is. But like Schaefer says, so many of these people, they know that time has passed them by. They know that they are throwbacks. They know that they have no reason to be here, because it's just too much for them. That's why they want to go stand on the hill and wait for the clouds to open and their clothes to fall off, so they can all rise up naked to meet Jesus or whoever it is they're going to meet. And every day that doesn't happen, they become more vicious. Because obviously Satan is working on the earth. Ask Sarah Palin. She'll tell you that just right out. Satan is working. And a lot of these people are convinced Satan is working now through Barack Obama. Yes. Oh, it's not that he's the Antichrist. He's Satan. That's coming. If it's not already here in these addled, brain-dead minds. But I'm thankful that people speak out about this issue, and don't just sit back like a bunch of sheep waiting to be slaughtered. No pun intended there about, the flock and all this other stuff. It is not of no import that so many Christians refer to themselves as the flock and Jesus as the shepherd. Yeah, okay, you got that right. Bah, bah. Man, come on, y'all. Somebody wants to have a spiritual aspect. Sure, don't we all? I mean, somewhere buried beneath all the cynicism, I'm sure I have a spiritual aspect. It is not a religious aspect. It is a spiritual aspect. Whatever that means, I've read something some time ago that the human brain is wired for a spiritual, if not connection, a spiritual dimension. Is that called the God gene? Okay. So, all right. But it's not God, capital G, or God, small g. It's just there is a longing, and I think it comes from self-awareness. Where else would it come from? Is a dog brain wired for spiritual awareness, for a God gene? I don't know. When's the last time you had a conversation with a dog? But if that's how we're wired for a some sort of spiritual connection, wouldn't that be that kind of... Jungian overarching collective consciousness. Oh, I'm turned out. I'm alone. I'm you know, every breath I take is only my breath. I want to reconnect. I want to be part of the whole, a piece of the main. I mean, John Donne was writing about this, 400 years ago? It's just that awful sense that I'm sure the Bronze Age, the Stone Age, whatever. Come on, research department, tell me which age. When they first started to realize, Og stopped breathing. Og no longer walking. Oh, Og starts to smell putrid and his flesh falls off. Okay, that must be, let's think of it, death. And, you know, there's got to be that kind of global fear of, oh, no. So how do we offset that? Well, I'm not going to die. I'm going to rapture. You're going to rapture. Okay. All right. Enough church. When we come back, a couple of quick emails, and then we're going to move on to the FBI, the beating at the Cracker Barrel restaurant down here in Morrow, Georgia, just south of Atlanta. See, we have all kinds of interesting topics tonight. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Truth seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
Can't touch this. 21 past the hour. Gordon in Oklahoma City, where 75% of the kids don't know who the high school kids don't know who the first president of the United States. That's scary, Gordon. Oh, my God, that's scary. Somebody ought to tell Bart Cop. Go to BartCop.com. You should be going there just for the hell of it. It's second best website on the web. And you ought to go there. But somebody needs to let Bart know because he lives in, where does he live, Kathy? Tulsa, Oklahoma City. Anyway, Gordon writes, Mike, according to P.Z. Myers, who has a blog called Pharyngula, is that right, Pharyngula? Schaefer's interview was, quote, prompted by a bizarre New Jersey poll that showed 35% of the conservatives in that state believe Obama is the Antichrist, end quote. I assume you have some knowledge of P.Z. Myers. If not, you're in for a treat. I know he's a blogger, but I haven't, I don't think I've read a lot of his stuff. P.Z. Myers, M-Y-E-R-S. Gordon goes on, considering the Republican Party, whenever someone tells me they're a Republican, I dismiss them by saying, I'm not in the mood to argue religion. Mike, I don't consider Republicanism a political party and have not for a number of years. I realize they are registered in each state as a political party, but that's a misrepresentation. They are a religious domination or cult. Take your pick. Gordon in Oklahoma City. All right, a couple more here. Michael in Roswell writes, this is regards to Gail Norton being investigated now. She's the focus of a Justice Department probe about her criminal activity as Secretary of the Interior. And Michael writes, I'm still waiting for news that Harold Simmons of Dallas is tied up in the Norton Shell deal. After all, Harold Simmons was the CEO of National Lead Industries, for whom Norton lobbied. And it was Harold Simmons who helped bankroll the Swift Boat ads and the ad campaign to tie Barack Obama to William Ayers. I don't think he ranks 43rd on the Forbes list of the world's wealthiest 400 because he's squeaky clean and Sunday school honest. I don't either. Michael and Roswell. This is from Jeremy in Bellefont, PA. Mike, I was just listening to your show from a couple of days ago, the 15th. And you ask rhetorically how religious psychos rationalize scientific evidence that directly contradicts their biblical beliefs. Well, I have an answer. I know my fair share of knuckle-dragging Christian zealots and often have conversations with them about just such a thing, this or that scientific discovery, etc. The reaction? Flat-out denial. They'll explain it away by saying, Satan planted this scientific evidence to deceive humans into not believing in God anymore. You may think I'm making this up as some sort of joke, but trust me, I'm not. They are dead serious. Oh, and I've also asked about the Cain and his wife thing. They openly acknowledge incest there. Uh-huh. But, of course, it was necessary to go forth and multiply back then. Insert patented Malloy sigh here. And to think, I grew up as one of these people, Jeremy writes. Thank the cloud being, my parents sent me to public school, and I got to go to college and was encouraged to question 15 years into my thorough Jesus flushing, and it's all good. I can actually enjoy things now without continually apologizing for my inherently evil existence. Jeremy in Bellefont, PA. Well, good for you, Jeremy. And Dan in Eau Claire, Wisconsin writes, Mike, we shouldn't be surprised in the least by the horrid behavior of the far-right lunatics we've seen at the town hall meetings at the largest KKK march on Washington ever last weekend, and on the always-lying right-wing media. These are the same awful subhumans who cheered and reveled during the despicable Bush-Cheney death fest in Iraq, where several million innocent dark-skinned human beings were either slaughtered or displaced from their homes, only for having committed the sin of having America's oil under their sandy soil. There are no surprises here. We share a land with people who are completely sociopathic, religiously insane, and greedier than any other beings to have ever resided on this troubled earth. President Obama is not a perfect man by any stretch of the imagination, and over the next several years, goodness willing, we may find the true extent of his imperfections. But after 8 years of an administration that was truly bordering on tyrannical and evil, and watching these freaks of nature supporting his every mind-numbingly idiotic and usually illegal antic, how else would we expect them to respond to President Obama? If they did support him, I think we would all have to rethink our agenda and start to question our own votes last fall. Keep up the work on behalf of those of us who have hopefully evolved a little quicker than those ethically challenged souls who somehow lost their way in the fevered swamps of Rethuglican land. Dan in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Below us. And above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living. It is not hard to do. Nothing to kill or die. And no religion, too.
ready to make nice, it's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Last one for this segment here. Subject line, it's in our genes. This is from Barbara in San Rafael, who writes, hi, Mike. I was doing research for a class I'm taking and came across a study conducted over 30 years ago by Phil Zimbardo, a Stanford psychologist. He showed in a famous experiment that it is fairly easy to transform a group of well-mannered college students into sadistic prison guards as long as someone of authority gives the go-ahead. In other words, we as humans are susceptible to mass brainwashing. It's in our genes, like a knee-jerk reaction. So it makes sense that the teabaggers are susceptible to Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck's hateful rantings. As I recall, Hitler did his fair share of ranting, too. I continue to believe that our progressive voice is very important. The drug addict and the suicider are unrelenting. We must get out there and scream! We must expose the manipulation of those right-wing leaders, quote-quote, as best we can, and show them, and show that we have reason and intellect on our side. Barbara. Hear, hear. Morrow, Georgia is just south of Atlanta. It's, it is really Redneckville. There's no question, even though if you drive through Morrow, isn't Morrow where that fake, Terra was built, Kathy? The place is supposed to look like Gone with the Wind, the plantation in Gone with the Wind. Margaret Mitchell never lived in Morrow, Georgia. She lived in Atlanta. She was a reporter for the Atlanta Constitution. The one time, both there were two papers, the Atlanta Journal, Atlanta Constitution. She was with, I believe, the Constitution. And but Margaret Mitchell was, if anything, just, you know, common folk. She understood, she was a white woman living in the South in a certain period of time. She understood, the inequities that were abundant in the South. She understood the injustice, and she subscribed to it. She was not, a reformer by any means. Look at her characters. Look at the characters in Gone with the Wind. So Margaret Mead was, you know, a product of her time, a product of, Margaret Mitchell is a product of her time, her geography. Geography in certain respects, certainly back then, is or was destiny. There's no question. Morrow, Georgia is, a part of the Atlanta metro area that has pretty much remained, in kind of a time warp. Interstate, is it 75 that goes through there? I think 70, yeah, 75. 75 and 85 and I-20 all pass through Atlanta. 75 goes through Morrow, Georgia. And as you wing your way out of Atlanta, heading for Point South, you notice that Morrow, Georgia is probably not someplace where you'd like to live. And if you're from Morrow, Georgia and listening right now, hey, excuse me, but, you know, truth stings. It's pretty racist there. So the FBI is investigating as a possible hate crime this attack on a woman who is she's an Army reservist. She's an Army reservist. She's African American. She had her child with her, her 7-year-old daughter with her. She was at a Cracker Barrel restaurant. If you're not familiar with the South, Cracker Barrel restaurants are places you really don't particularly want to eat. They're kind of like upscale Waffle House. Oh, you don't know what a Waffle House either. Jesus, what's wrong with you people? Waffle House in the South is where you go at 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, after you've been out boozing and drinking and partying all night, and you know you're going to have to throw up eventually. So you go to Waffle House and eat, and then go out in the parking lot and toss your cookies. That's just what you do at Waffle House. Cracker Barrel is that, only upscale. Not really upscale, but you know what I mean. Anyway, this guy, Troy Dale West Jr. Yeah, Troy Dale! Man, what kind of hell did you get yourself into, boy?
I'll smack this this Negro woman.
If you saw a picture of Troy Dale, he is Marl, Georgia. He's got one of those mullet haircuts and a lot of facial hair and got that kind of dull look in his eyes. He's most assuredly a Glenn Beck listener, a Limbaugh listener, Neil Bortz listener. Neil Bortz, who has dominated Atlanta talk radio with his right-wing neo-Nazism for the past 30 years. I'm sure this guy, you can just look at him. I mean,
you're stereotyping.
You're goddamn right I'm stereotyping. I live here, man. Are you kidding me? I know these people. I've seen guys like this before. I see them all the time. I know exactly what they think. I know how they react. I know their cowardice. I know their spinelessness. And I know that they would beat up a woman. They would beat up a woman like this son of a bitch did. So anyway, old Troy Dale West Jr. of Poland, Georgia. Now, he doesn't live up here. He lives a little bit further south down there in Poland. He's facing charges including misdemeanor battery, disorderly conduct after beating Army Reservist Tashania Hill, who's 35. After the two had words at the entrance of this restaurant, the evening of September 9th, Ms. Hill told police that West, who's 47, yelled racial slurs at her as the attack took place. Hill told CNN Wednesday night, and Rick Sanchez's program today, but she told CNN Wednesday night, he punched me with a closed fist repeated times. My head is still hurting today. I have knots on my head. Police said witnesses confirmed her account. The FBI has initiated an investigation in the matter to determine if a civil rights violation occurred. Oh, really? Okay. Because this murderous attack on this woman happened in full view of the woman's 7-year-old daughter, the Clayton County District Attorney's Office added a felony charge of cruelty to children. The captain of the Marl Police Department said the woman's daughter was visibly upset the night of the attack, and he said he was on the scene shortly after the attack. Police reported the incident said the little 7-year-old girl was crying uncontrollably and her body was shaking from witnessing the attack. Ms. Hill told the police that the incident started when she and her daughter were entering the restaurant at the same time West and his wife were exiting. Hill told WSB television here in Atlanta, quote, "The man slung open the door pretty hard and fast, and I had to push my daughter out of the way. I turned to the man, and I just said, 'Excuse me, sir, you need to watch yourself. You almost hit my daughter in the face.' And from there, it just went downhill," end quote. According to the police report, the male, the cowardly son of a bitch, Troy Dale West Jr., admitted striking Miss Hill, quote, "after she spit on me and accused me of trying to hit her daughter with a door." God damn, that is so. Yeah, that's right. That's right, Troy Dale. Yeah, that bitch said I tried to hit her daughter with a door. Can you beat that? Damn, of course I hit on her. What am I going to do? Damn. Oh, my God. When she was on CNN yesterday, Ms. Hill told, and her attorney, Kip Jones, denied that she spat on West. The attorney said he saw a surveillance video of the incident. The attorney said, quote, "at no point did Ms. Hill do anything to provoke the attack. She didn't spit on West. She spoke to him. He attacked her." Police said this cowardly son of a bitch punched her in the left cheek, forehead, kicked her body in several places, and punched her head in many areas several times. The Cracker Barrel's manager told police he stepped between the killer, Troy Dale, and Ms. Hill to stop the assault. The attorney said he's convinced that this was a hateful, racist attack based on the N-word and the B-word, etc. Yeah. The attorney said the language was vile, it was racist, it was sexist, it was completely offensive, completely unprovoked. Ms. Hill was treated at a hospital after the attack and released. And the Clayton County District Attorney has forwarded a surveillance video of the whole thing to the FBI. Ed DeBose, president of the Georgia State Conference, the NAACP, said yesterday his organization was concerned about the assault. At a news conference in Marl, Georgia, DeBose said, quote, we do know that to see a young mother beat and grabbed the way this woman was raised concern to us in this community. Certainly raised concern in this incident that some of the language was used toward this mother, etc., etc. Now, I will guarantee you that this piece of human waste, this white man, Troy Dale, loves Glenn Beck, believes he's just about the only real American out there except for Neil Bortz, another racist son of a bitch, and Rush Limbaugh. Troy Dale would probably go for Sean, but Sean is too cute, and every time Troy Dale sees Sean on Fox News, Troy Dale gets a little bit aroused, and that just scares the hell out of him, so he has to turn off the TV, you know. But you can go online and see a picture of this guy. Go ahead. We'll be right back.
Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Hope you got your things together. 10 before the hour, we are going to open up the phones during the break at the top of the hour. When we come back, another moment with Bob. The reason I have another one, he wrote a real good one the week we were off. And it kind of dovetails with Frank Schaefer and some of this other stuff we're talking about tonight. The title of this one is, This Just In, Conservatives Are Insane. So you're going to like this. And also about Obama's decision to get rid of this crazed, psychotic missile shield nonsense. We're also going to try to work in a missive from Prairie 2. So full hour coming up if you would like to comment. Give us a call. But I got this from Daryl in Las Vegas, and I want to share it with you. Hi, Mike. I'm a podcast subscriber, and last night's show was giving me goosebumps. Listening to you describe exactly how I feel about what the conservative hosts are trying to engage in this country. As an African-American male in my 30s, I thought I would never see the black and white pictures during the civil rights movement be in such true colors in 2009. The hate that comes out of these right-wing talk show hosts is amazing to hear. Black people should be cautious on what is being put out on these hate stations. This past Monday, I was listening to a progressive show which was going to a break, so I turned to Sean Hannity to get an idea what hatred he's spitting out on the airways. Before he was about to take his break, he mentioned that coming up on his show, he will discuss issues about Kanye West, Serena Williams, Van Jones, Acorn, and the school bus fight. Now, what does a music artist, a tennis player, a political activist, a community organization, and a student conflict have to do with one another? They're all African Americans who will be shown as attacking white people or being a fraud. The white listeners of his show will quickly get it. That's why Rush Limbaugh said today, I mean, what's the lesson we're being taught here today? Kids shouldn't have been on the bus anyway. We need segregated buses. It was invading space and stuff. This is Obama's America. I also heard today that Glenn Beck lumped Maxine Waters, Ward Connerly, and Charlie Rangel together in a segment. They're not trying to get the president assassinated, but they also, they are not only trying to get the president assassinated, but they're also about to start a race war. I'm beginning to see stories under the radar pop up about racism attacks taking place around the country. For example, on Tuesday evening, police arrested Troy Dale West for beating an African-American Army reservist in front of her daughter outside a Cracker Barrel restaurant in Marl, Georgia. This is not looking good for our country, and the perpetrators are enjoying every minute. All I can say is that I'm being very careful of my surroundings. In Las Vegas, there are 3 conservative radio stations and no liberal channels, which is why I bought Sirius. So the hate is being spewed all around me. Something should be done about this. But because I know it won't, I'll just sit back and prepare for what's to come. Daryl in Las Vegas. It has got to be, and I do get emails from folks who identify themselves as African American, and I never read fear in these emails. I read shock, disappointment, but not fear, because black folk have been dealing with this in this country for 350 years, before this country was this country. Get a lot of disappointment that bleeds through in these emails. A lot of disappointment. I don't know how many people thought, okay, with the election of a black president, black attorney general, a multi-racial and cabinet with men and women, that, you know, maybe we had crossed over. We had finally gotten over. And I know some white people believe that, but I think a lot of black folk, if not the majority of black folk, believe that. You know, finally, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. I mean, what does it take, for God's sake? President of the United States, that's not enough, apparently. Well, there were also, at the same time, a lot of much more cautious white people and a few black folks who said, don't kid yourself. The night before Barack Obama was elected, this was United States of America. The morning after he was elected, it's still the United States of America. What do you think has happened? Nothing. Black man got elected. Other than that, nothing. Only that is not a completely true statement, because something did happen. All of a sudden, all of that packed in racism that is just, it will always be in this country. There is no way that the United States of, by God, America is ever going to escape the racism. Never. We might be able, not my job, I'll be long dead and gone. The next generation might come to some kind of terms with it, like I thought my generation had, but it's never going to go away. Not in the United States of America. No, never. They can have a black Supreme Court justice, all 9 of them. Won't mean nothing where it concerns racism. Racism is bone deep. And there are lots of reasons for it, none of which we need to go into on this program. You already know what those reasons are. But I get these emails, and they're heartbreaking. I don't mean I pity the writers. I don't pity folk who have been through this, who understand it, who had their hopes up. The hopes got smashed on the rocks. I don't pity folk like that. I empathize with them as best I can, because I'm trapped in white skin just like they're trapped in black skin. We're all trapped somewhere, aren't we? Huh? Right. So, to the people, Daryl or Dr. Sachs or whoever writes to me about this kind of stuff, you know, man, I hear you all, and it's not just men, women too. I hear you all loud and clear. Yeehaw, as we say here in the South. You know, the woman that was attacked by this crazy son of a bitch down at the Cracker Barrel about a week ago, being an Army reservist, I'm surprised. There are a lot of Army bases in Georgia. Matter of fact, that's one of the main sources of income here, is military. But I am surprised that so far there has not been a squad of, I don't know. Who would it take? Just regular Army, I guess. Maybe some special forces who would go down to, Poland, Georgia, where Troy Dale West Jr. lives, and pull this son of a bitch out of his trailer, because you know he lives in a double wide. You just know he lives in a double wide. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I mean, if you look at this guy's picture, oh my. Anyway, I'm surprised that a contingent of Rangers are trained right over here in a little bit north of Savannah, Army Rangers. And this woman is an Army reservist. So, I mean, look what this guy's done. First of all, she's female. Secondly, she's Army. Third, she is African American. And this pig, this Troy Dale West Jr., I'm sure he's none of that. I'm sure he probably never served in the country, in the military. He's just a cowardly son of a bitch. I mean, who is it that what kind of a male strikes a woman? Now, you know that if he does this, you know he beats the living hell out of his wife, too. He was at the Cracker Barrel with his wife. This poor creature, you can imagine what her life must be like, married to Troy Dale West Jr. You can just imagine what her life is like, right? Because if this guy will attack a stranger, a woman who is a complete stranger, he probably just beats the living hell out of his wife anytime he gets drunk or stoned. Man, but I was just thinking during the break, I'm surprised that two or three Army Rangers from over here at where are they? Fort Hines? Not Fort Hines, Hinesville, Georgia, Fort Stewart. I think they train Rangers there. I know they do over near Savannah. What's the military? We got so damn many of them in Georgia. Good God. But I'm surprised a squad of Army Rangers have not decided, and it would be a multiracial squad, too. You know, get a couple of black guys, a couple of white guys, and go hunt this son of a bitch down. I mean, you know, he attacked a member of the United States Army. He attacked a member. We have people in Guantanamo who have been there for 8 goddamn years because they were rumored to have attacked a member of the United States Army. Here's a guy who did it, and it's on videotape, and he did it in front of her 7-year-old daughter. What, you know, this story really, really, really has me more upset than I thought it would. Not that I'm immune to this kind of stuff, but it just... Well, maybe, I mean, if a couple Army Rangers aren't going to respond to this, maybe somebody will. You never know, do you? Oh, I know. Let the wheels of justice turn, Malloy. Inciting people to violence is what Glenn Beck does. And Limbaugh and Hannity, when Hannity's not playing with himself out of the Bunny Ranch in Nevada. But, How do you let this and this pig said, well, she spit on me and she tried to hit me with the door. That's the part that I like the best. She tried to hit me with the door. So I just decided to beat the living hell out of is that her little girl? I didn't know who that was. I don't give a damn. You imagine what his wife was doing, standing there just going, oh, Lord, Troy Dale. Maybe you shouldn't. Shut up! Okay. All right, Troy Dale. I'm sorry. I'll go wait in the car. You go ahead and finish up the beating, and I'll see you in the car. Troy Dale, I'm sorry. Jesus, God. Yeah, well, Mike, if it's so bad, why do you live in the South? I don't know. I like the weather. To the phones? Faith is in Pittsburgh, listening online.
I can't believe it.
What?
You're letting me on right away. That's great.
Well, sure.
Well, I don't know what the hell you said tonight because I spent all my time trying to call you.
Yeah?
And I'm in your chat room.
Oh, yeah?
I might as well just be in Timbuktu because what are you talking about? I mean, I've missed the whole show trying to reach you.
You missed what?
The whole show.
Oh, well.
Because calling you takes energy and time and effort.
Yeah.
And I'm in your chat room.
Yeah,
where
well.
You don't appear.
Well, we've been talking about the tomato crop that just came in here in Georgia. Some of the heritage tomatoes are in there. Damn good.
I love tomatoes when they're good.
Yeah. And we've been talking about, what else have we been talking about, Kathy? We've been talking about, we're trying to get Molly a puppy, and we're trying to decide what breed to get her, or just to go to some no-kill shelter and get, which is what we'll probably
get
do.
Get a no-kill dog, and that's a wonderful thing to do for a child. It makes.
Yeah, and that's about it, Faith. I mean, you know.
Well, I called to talk about racism.
Oh, well, we don't talk about that on this program.
I know you don't.
No, we never do.
You're not interested in racism.
I can't, because I'll tell you what, Faith, if I start talking about racism on this program, it's just going to get people all head up and, you know, want to scream and yell. Listen, Faith, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. I really do. Dave is in Chicago. Hey, Dave.
Hey, coming off speakerphone. I have been studying conservative-minded people for a long time, and I've been able to deprogram a couple of folks. And I did several one time, and I know I've had a talent for being able to get a bunch of them, and I've been waiting for that moment. On 9/12 Saturday, I was driving through Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
There's
a little downtown that I know of. Anti-war protesters have been hanging out there since the beginning of the Iraq War, and I met them one time years ago. And
right.
Every time I go by, I look down in the park, and I look down there Saturday, and sure enough, there's a bunch of people out there, and I said, oh, are those my friends? Oh, man, it's 9/12, right-wingers, great, you know. So I parked down there, and I got over to the park, and there's about 45 people, and there's a little sign that says that you can sign up and guest speak. So, hey, great, sign me up, you know. Because I know how to talk to these people. So finally my turn comes up to speak, and I grab the microphone, and I start in, and there's like a speech that I do to get through to them, because you've only got about 30 seconds or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to my point, and I started rattling off the names of their news sources. I go, Bill Riley, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Michael Medved, Michael Savage, Michael Reagan, Bill Bennett, Bill Cunningham, Rusty Humphries, Glenn Beck, G. Gordon Liddy, Ann Coulter, Hugh Hewitt. I got about halfway through the list, and they started encroaching on me, and hey, man, that's the people that we listen to, man. They started gathering around me and complaining that, hey, wait a minute, those are good American people that are telling us the truth.
Yeah.
So by this time, people are grabbing my microphone and shutting off the amplifier because I've been outed as the enemy, you know, by this time. So without the microphone and help of an amplifier, I hopped up on this little 2-foot, you know, like a little stage.
Right.
I hopped up and I started using my own voice, finished off the list of right-wing talkers, and they were still yelling, hey, where are those are the people we listen to? And I pointed at the guy that shouted out. I said, you, have you ever looked up a single thing that Bill O'Reilly ever said?
Yeah.
He gave me a blank look, so I said, no. And the next person, I said, did you ever look up anything Sean Hannity ever said? He gave me a blank look. I said, no. And I kept going through the crowd like that, and these people started kind of heading toward the exit, half, you know,
right.
Not knowing whether to leave or not. And I kept going through the crowd up to each person, and they freaked out. They all came.
Well, Dave, I have to tell you, I got a break here, but I have to tell you, man, I'd like to hang out with you sometime, man. We could do some hell raising, because you definitely have courage. Let's put it that way. Next time I'm in Chicago, Dave, we need to get together, man, and go, you know, a 10-day teabagger rally. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Molloy.
the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. I promised a moment with Bob tonight, but I think we're going to do it tomorrow night because I want to get your calls in and a couple more emails here. By the way, we have one open line if you want to join us, 877-996-2556. I mean, you know, join us on a phone call, 877-996-2556. Email from Beverly who writes, Dear Mike, I have two kids, age 7 and 9. I've been so grateful that we live in a multicultural neighborhood and their public school has as many minorities as it does white. Where I grew up in Philadelphia, I lived in an all-white neighborhood. I was the odd person out because I was of German, not Italian, descent. Now I live in the Bible Belt, Houston, and my children are growing up not noticing a difference between white and black until now. In my house, we celebrated the election of Barack Obama, and our children were thrilled. However, their school did not provide them with an opportunity to watch the inauguration. Then last week, their school district decided to allow the children to hear the president's speech, but allowed the schools to make up their own schedule. My kids' school showed it on Friday afternoon, right before the kids packed up to go home. My daughter asked me if her principal didn't want them to see the president because he's black. It broke my heart. Our kids are listening. Do Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Glenn Beck care about that? Better yet, do those we entrust with educating them care? It's horrible. Beverly. Trisha writes, Mike, just now when you said Troy Dale likely beats his wife because he beat a woman he didn't know, I got to disagree. I'm from and still live in Memphis, so I know all about some rednecks. Oh, hell do I ever. And I'm reminded of the Emmett Till case here. I doubt those bastards would have killed a white child, you know. The black woman who happened to get in his way, well, she was a representative of all of them. The black people who have made his life living hell just by, you know, existing. All the racism this piece of shiznit had held up inside him that he's had in him since birth got unleashed on this poor woman. And he made sure to teach her daughter a lesson while he was at it. Never cross a white man. Trisha. Yeah. And then there's this. This is from Cassandra, who writes, she's a longtime listener, fellow Toledoan. Oh, my Lord, homegirl. Cassandra writes, as a gay, veteran, African-American woman, I didn't think for one nanosecond that racism would cease to exist with the election of a black president. And Frank Schaefer's assessment on the Rachel Maddow show of the evangelical wacko has made so much sense to me that I slapped myself in the forehead with a resounding, duh! But I'm not a Christian, so I appreciated such precise insight. What shocks and disappoints me the most is what a weak-ass president Obama is turning out to be. I know he is hardly progressive, but I sure as hell didn't expect him to be like this. Acquiescing to Republicans? Incessant reaching across the aisle to people beholding to these right-wing wackos? With the landslide and mandate for change we gave him? We sure as blank didn't vote for that. God, I wish Dennis Kucinich was our president. I just hope Obama is playing rope-a-dope somehow. I don't think so. Love the show. Cassandra. Well, I hoped he was playing rope-a-dope, too. I, you know, but I don't think so either. I don't know what a very confused radio talk show host. I wish I had the crystal clear clarity, the burning lights of truth that Limbaugh and Hannity and Beck have. Oh, God, life would be so much simpler. Ben is in Allentown, PA. Hey, Ben.
Hi, Mike. I want you to put your tinfoil hat on briefly and come with me to Conspiracyville land.
Okay.
Some Democrats aren't willing to say this, but as you know, Mormonism in its original form was a racist, I don't want to call it a gutter religion, but it viewed black people, and this is in the scripture, as people that were turned away by God and were mud people, turned away by the sun. Now, if you go back to Glenn Beck, back during the primaries, when he had one of these celebrity obese pastors on, I think it was Hagee, one of these guys, he flat out asked the pastor, is Obama the Antichrist? Now, his sheeple, his Hare Krishna airport zombies, they defended him on the grounds that, oh, he's just a comedian, he's being funny. I think, and some people say I'm taking it over the top, I think that was a Freudian slip. I think Glenn Beck had some sort of Joseph Smith-type vision in the woods, wearing his magic underwear, where he thinks he's on some sort of Mormon, I don't know, charge or something. I think this is personal to him.
Well, I agree with you. I think it is personal. But I also think that Glenn Beck, and I think a lot of people have come to this conclusion, people who are a lot smarter than I am. I got an email, 2 weeks ago from somebody who is a clinical psychologist who just watches Beck for the diagnosis aspect, who completely agrees that he's out of his mind. I don't think Glenn Beck makes any statements that are not carefully thought out inside his fevered brain. He's one sick son of a bitch, and I think people need to be aware how sick he is. He has the potential to be a Jim Jones, and I wish him all well. I got to leave it there. Thanks, Ben. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Defining anger management. It's Mike Malloy.
Hey, little sister, what have you done? 25 before the hour. Email from Tony in Maine. Hi, Mike. I'm finding it hard to believe that our country is racist as a whole. I don't think Barack Obama would have been elected in a racially bigoted country, especially after that campaign in which Sarah Palin tried her hardest to play the race card. But what I do think is currently happening is something that is well planned. It's a ploy to try to stoke the racial ugliness of a few, but through its media machine, try to make it appear as if it's a real problem. All you have to do is try to find out who is sponsoring these events. See who is sponsoring or paying for teabag rallies, the September 12th March of Idiots, or the busing of all those people to cause havoc at those town hall meetings. I think you'll find that these events are being well-funded by corporate interests. So what is it that they're trying to accomplish? Well, if you look at the makeup of our government at this moment and the real potential for change, then who is it that will least profit from that change? Just throwing it out there. Tony from Maine. No, I get your point. When I say this is a racist country, I think people have to be clear on the definition of racism. To be bigoted or prejudiced is one thing. Racist is a whole different word, a whole different definition. The Nazis were racist, for example. But and what defines racism? It is the way the laws are applied. When you have a dominant culture, in this case, it is white European. For years in this country, that was the dominant culture. And if you want to subdivide it, it was male white European. But let's call it white European. And the subordinate cultures were Native American, which the white male culture set about to utterly and absolutely commit genocide against and destroy. And the African a culture that was brought here to be slaves and make capitalism work in a most wondrous way. You can break it down further than that if you want to, but the laws were written to deny anybody other than white males any kind of legal rights whatsoever, even though the documents, you know, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, they all are very lofty, very, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, when in the course of human events, yada, yada, yada. You know, at the same time, in order to apportion the voting in this country, they declared that black human beings were three-fifths of a person. For the purpose of census, for the purpose of dividing up power. It doesn't matter what the purpose was. They were three-fifths of a human being. That is racism. If you're driving down the street and you see a person of color, I don't care what color, they're not Caucasian, and you know, they do something goofy in traffic and make you hit your brake, you may scream out, "Oh, you dumbass, blank," depending on their race. That's bigotry. That's not racism. Racism is when the subordination of people based on race is incorporated into the laws. That's racism. Apartheid in South Africa. That was racism. So I've got to disagree with you, Tony. This country is racist by definition. I mean, that's how we started. Now, we don't have slaves anymore. Caucasians don't have slaves anymore. But people still work in slave positions. We just don't call it slavery anymore. Now, I'm not trying to get cute with you. I understand what you're saying. No, slavery was abolished in the mid-19th century. It's all been abolished. The Jim Crow laws that took the place of slavery, all been abolished. Declared unconstitutional, illegal, new laws passed in the 60s. Okay, this country is still racist. It is still there. The hangover, the seeds that were planted, what you're witnessing today, that's not bigotry. When people depict Barack Obama as a bone-in-the-nose jungle dweller, or they depict Barack Obama as a primate other than human, as a chimp or a gorilla, or worse yet, depict him as a monkey, that's not bigotry. That is racism. And there is no way to avoid that unless, you know, I mean, white folk can say, well, that, you know, now, Tony, I'm not trying to pick a fight with you, but white folk can say, well, that's not racism, that's bigotry. And if this is a racist society, how did Barack Obama get elected? Well, a lot of white people voted for him. A lot of people believed in him. What I read the other day, 46% of white people voted for Barack Obama in the last election, 46%. Of white folks, which simply means that, 56% didn't. And okay, so what? But if the majority of the country is Democratic in its political leanings, which I think it always has been, especially after coming off an 8-year bender like we had with these psychotic sons of bitches in the Bush crime family. If the majority of people in America are Democratic, then it stands to reason that they would have voted for the Democratic nominee. But that didn't happen. Now, I'm not trying to put too fine a point on it here, but this is a racist country. It was founded on racism and genocide. Period. I would get that's unpleasant. We don't like to think about that. No. We had Thanksgiving with the Indians. Yeah, okay. And the slaves, well, white man freedom. Yeah, okay. But the country was founded on racism and genocide. That was the only way that this, and you know why? Because it was ordained by God. Yeah, manifest destiny. You forgot that, right? Go look it up. Come on. We all had it in school, I think. If you're over a certain age, you had it in school. Manifest destiny. Go look at it. See what it was. Shining city on the hill that Reagan referred to had its roots in the establishment of this country, the exploration of this country, the subjugation of this country. Come on. Manifest destiny. God told us to come over here. Just like God told Joshua, well, I'm not going to let your dad go in, but you go in. But first thing you do is go over there and kill everybody. Kill them all. Kill the pregnant women. Kill the babies in their baskets. Kill the men, the women. Kill the warriors, the people that work in the fields. Kill the team. Kill them all. And I will give you that land. That'll be your land because you are my people. I'm not letting your old man go in because that dumb son of a bitch wandered around the wilderness for 40 years, and I don't like that. So you go, Joshua. Same thing here. Same thing here, Tony. So with all due respect, I have to disagree. This is a racist society. It was designed on racism. It was founded on genocide. Can we ever get past it? I don't think so. Not until we have some enlightened beings who consider things like reparations. Ooh, reparations! I didn't own any slaves! Why should I pay for all that? That wasn't me! No, but it was your government. I wasn't alive then! Well, the only reason that... Oh, I'm not going to try to explain it. But if we ever get serious about all this... And I know, then we got the problem of Native Americans. You know, I'm not suggesting that Europeans, European Americans or even African Americans should leave because it's not our country. I'm not suggesting that. You know, we killed them fair and square. We butchered them fair and square, right? We used biological warfare against Native Americans when we spread typhoid, germs all over the blankets and say, here, come here, Injun. Here, give here. Here's a blanket so you don't have to be cold out there in the prairie or wherever you live now. So, if we ever had a Truth and Reconciliation Commission in this country, my God, it would take forever. It would just take forever. But part of that would be reparations to an awful lot of people, and that's just not going to happen. And without the Truth and Reconciliation, without the reparations, without the acknowledgement, without laws to prevent it from ever happening again, as the Germans did. I mean, they had to do this after World War II. They had to do it. They had to confront what occurred in their country. A lot of South Africans, white South Africans, had to confront what occurred in their country if they wanted to go forward. I'm not saying that South Africa is in a wonderful state right now. It is not. But that's not going to happen here. It's just not. So the stuff that we, and interestingly, I just had a conversation with a good friend of mine about this today, but this is not bigotry. This is not bigotry. This is not bigotry, what you're seeing where it concerns Obama. This is flat out, clearly definable racism. And unless you've been around it for a long time, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people listening to this program are not as old as I am. I came up through that era. I was in high school when Emmett Till was butchered. I marched for civil rights. I listened to black folk trying to educate me as to what was going on, and so on and so on and so on. And people younger than there's a certain cutoff point where a lot of folks just they have no memory of that. And for those of us who live through it, you have a memory, but you also have a sense memory where you can see a picture or hear a song or smell a smell, and all of a sudden your whole body is tossed back into that. You know, theater term, sense memory. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. For the hour, our gift to the Indians on blankets was not typhoid, it was smallpox. Thank you. 10 before the hour, thanks to our crew, Sharon Gordy, Bruce Enberg, Kate Petrini, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wood, our executive producer, Kathy Bay. Oh, and Ben Birch, who is technical advisor of the program. Don't forget, stick around if you're listening online immediately after this program. We rebroadcast of earlier tonight's program from Bob Kincaid's Head On Radio Network out of West Virginia. If you haven't listened to his program, you ought to. Check it out. Just all you do is just stay where you are, and Ben will stream it. Bob Kincaid, Head On Radio Network. Sarah is calling from Atlanta. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Mike. Good evening to you.
Hi.
This is my first time calling in. I've always listened to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you are so welcome. And on your topic that you were discussing with the racism within the United States, and it is a well-known fact that racism involves systems. And a lot of people like to throw that word around loosely, especially they like to put it on black folks and say, okay, we are being racist. No, we could be prejudiced, we can be bigoted, but we cannot be racist.
Right, exactly. And if I hear somebody, if I hear a white person say that, it's a clear indication to me they don't understand the term.
Correct, and which is why I tried to explain to them. I said it's isms, it's like socialism, communism, they're isms, it involves systems.
Right.
And you cannot call me a racist because what system do black people control? How can we oppress you?
Right.
We do not control the financial systems or anything in this country.
Exactly.
It's more controlled by the Europeans. And your topic at hand, and they were talking about when the Constitution was written and how blacks were constituted as being three-fifths of a person. Once again, that goes back to the insurance company. In order for them to insure the slave cargo to bring it over here to the New World, they had to insure as many people as possible. So if they can make it three-fifths, then they can load the ships more and they can cover more for their money. And that is where the three-fifths of a person came into being for black people.
Well, I didn't know that. I thought it had to do with the representation of the white male landowners to the Continental Congress or the early Congress. How do you apportion, the 13 states now that they have gained their independence? But I'm not surprised. There's an awful lot of black history I am totally unaware of.
Correct. That is where it all came about. And that was why when a lot of these companies, these major insurance companies were being sued because documentation were found out that they were insuring slaves, the slave ships and the cargoes coming from Africa. A lot of them tried to balk at the idea and said, okay, well, we did a lot of consolidation at the Hartford Group and a couple of others that were consolidated over the numerous years.
Right.
And they were trying to get out from under that liability, but that's where that number came into being because of the insurance of the cargo that was being shipped over.
So the insurance companies have been messing with us even since then.
Correct.
Oh, my God.
They've always been in the business of making a profit.
Yeah. No matter what.
Yeah. So that is why this system with the insurance and the health care. And one quick thing, the situation with Congress today where they voted against Acorn to suspend their funding.
Right.
I don't know when these people or when the Democrats are going to finally discover that they have a backbone and stand up like they're like Homo erectus and walk around.
Sarah, I don't think that's going to happen because they've had opportunity after opportunity. Democrats are, let's be real, Democrats, for the most part, have become, with few exceptions, have become Republican light.
Republicrats.
Huh?
They have become Republicrats.
Yeah, Republicrats. That's good, too. There are still a few Democrats in the House and the Senate that I respect, but the Democratic Party itself is, I don't think there's any way. The Republican Party has just gone totally insane, and the Democrats...
I never let these kids get away. Well, I call them kids because they are acting like small kids at recess.
Aren't they?
That want to stomp and throw their feet and act a fool. Mm-hmm. And they have been given into them. They have let them do pretty much what they want to do, and they have let these people run amok.
Right.
These people still forgot that they are there about the people's business. You're not there to create a career for yourself. You're there to represent us. And if you're not representing us, they all have to go. Every last one of them has to go. Maybe a tenth of them who have actually been doing the people's business should stay. But I believe the vast 90% of the Senate and the house, they all need to go.
Well, I do too, but in order to get rid of them, it's going to take one key thing, and that's to get corporate money out of our political system. That's what's corrupted it. You know, over the years that I've been doing talk radio, I've suggested what to me are solutions, things like denying any contribution to any political candidate over $100, period. Now, a lot of people go, what the hell? Which means that the candidate would not be able to buy. Oh, and the other thing is ban all political advertising from television. What the hell? Because if you do that, then all of a sudden, somebody who wants to be a lawmaker knows good and well that he or she is not going to make any money, that he or she is going to have to work their butt off to get the job. They're going to have to contact a lot of people. They're going to have to work like hell. That means it's going to have to be dedicated people. And there are no rewards other than being a lawmaker. That's what they are. They're there to make laws. They're there to handle legislation. That's what a Senate and a House member, that's their only function. They are the legislative branch. And as you point out, Sarah, so many of them see this as a career path. Well, I say to hell with them. We could go on about this for hours. Sarah, thank you. I got a boogie. And if we didn't get to your call tonight, I do apologize. I hate to leave folks on hold, but... all right, I'll see you tomorrow night, and we'll do the Moment with Bob tomorrow night that we were planned on tonight. It's a good one. I think you're going to like it. So to speak. Stay safe, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.